America knows that Iowa is ground zero for the 2020 presidential candidates. And this week, former Texas congressman and presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke packed a United Steelworkers Union Hall in Des Moines on the invitation of the Iowa Asian Latino Coalition. There he talked about what he enjoys the most about retail politics in Iowa and even gave us a lesson on food.
It's a really important state, obviously, and the only way to win here is to show up and to listen and to meet people and to learn from them and to continue to come back. That's the message that I'm getting from them. I also was telling Patrick this the other night. I also really enjoy this. This is the kind of campaigning that I love, to have six different events during the day, to travel a state, to really get to know its customs, its version of Whataburger, the things that are on people's minds that in some cases are similar to Texas. We were just talking about how teachers and other public employees lost the right to organize in 2017 and how that has produced a teacher shortage in the state. It's something that we are very familiar with in Texas, and there's a common solution to that that we can speak to. There are other dynamics that are unique to Iowa that I'm learning along the way, and the best way to do that is to show up and be in forums like these. So given that we are more than half a year away from the caucuses, there's a lot of time and a lot of the state and a lot of people left to meet. I feel very good about where we are, and we'll just continue to campaign in the same way.
Did you figure out the Whataburger part of it yet, though?
We haven't. We've been told that a loose meat sandwich from Made Right is a place for us to go when we're in Iowa. I have yet to do that, but I have had the breakfast pizza at Casey's, which sounded like a disgusting idea and was the best thing I've ever put in my mouth. So I'm very happy with the food in Iowa.
Congressman, a business question, if I can. Rural America is being hollowed out. Individual farmers are seeing low commodity prices now for the fifth year. We're also seeing record numbers of bankruptcies. The trade issues that are going down between this country and China has taken soybean exports, not from this country, but from Brazil. How does Beto O'Rourke, Congressman O'Rourke, feel about that? And what would you do for America's farming communities?
I'd get behind these farmers and make sure that they're in the driver's seat, that they're taking the lead. They're growing the food that doesn't just sustain this state or this country, but so much of the rest of the world. And as you suggested, thanks to these trade wars and these tariffs that have been imposed by this president, the reciprocal tariffs from the markets that these grains, these soybeans were destined for, have been closed to us. And they're now stored and in some cases spoiled if they were anywhere close to the Missouri River. So ending these trade wars, ending these reciprocal tariff battles is not just good for the United States economy. It's great for the U.S. farmer, for rural America that has already hurting in so many ways, whether it's access to the technologies and infrastructure that the rest of the country takes for granted, like broadband internet, or dealing with being underwater in debt and now literally underwater thanks to the flooding taking place on either side of this state. Rural America is hurting right now. But if we put farmers in the lead, if farmers are allowed to capture carbon out of the air, incentivized to plant cover crops, make a profit conserving land by providing a public service, those farmers, these parts of rural America, this country is going to be so much stronger for it.
Follow-up question to that, if I might. In the eight states that are in the Midwest, there are 340,000 jobs going wanting. There are just simply not enough people to take those jobs. How does some of your platform fit into that relative to immigration?
First and foremost, let's make sure that Americans are trained for the work, for the jobs, the high-value, high-wage, high-skilled jobs that we're creating and unable to fill today. Central to that is access to a world-class education. Let's make community college free for every American, but let's also strengthen the power of unions to provide the training, the skills, and the trades that will allow our fellow Americans to work these jobs and command a living wage for the rest of their lives. But this is also connected to immigration. We need people who want to come to this country to work jobs that, for whatever reason, no American wants to work, or for whatever reason, we cannot place an American in right now. I mentioned earlier lifting some of these visa caps so that we get more of these potential workers to our country. That helps to grow our economy. It expands it to the benefit of everyone, not just those immigrants. And it's fundamental to border states like mine in Texas and to states like Iowa, where we were just in Storm Lake and were struck by the number of immigrants that we met in this community. That shows us that our American story is defined by the immigrant experience.
Congressman O'Rourke was asked if he thought, because of where he comes from, if he should be the first choice of people seeking a champion for Latino voters.
I think that's a decision that the people of Iowa, the people of this country, are going to make. I just don't want to take anyone for granted or presume or assume anything. Every single vote, every single caucus goer, I plan on earning by being at meetings like these, answering questions like the ones that were asked of me here today. But I've got to think that the fact that I live on the U.S.-Mexico border, that a quarter of those with whom I live and that I represented in Congress were born in another country, that I can tell a very powerful, positive story about what immigration means to the betterment of this country, including our safety and security, gives me a chance to connect with people who also understand this from the lives that they have lived and from the places that they have come from. So I hope to make that connection, but I will not count on it. I will not assume it. I'm going to work on it. And you see us answering your questions here today in English. We just had a 15-minute interview in Spanish at the outset of the day. I'm going to try to reach people in every place and in every language that I possibly can to see if I can't earn their support and their vote.
Then there was this. On a question about immigrants crossing the southern border, would he support a movement to reduce the penalty of those seeking asylum in the United States?
I think that makes a lot of sense, especially when you consider under this administration that those who are trying to lawfully petition for asylum at our ports of entry and international crossings are being, for the first time, at least in my lifetime living in El Paso, being prevented from doing that by CBP officers who've been ordered stationed at the international boundary line, preventing them from following our own laws. That forces those families who've just traveled 2,000 miles, who don't have a penny to their name, who are scared and are fleeing some of the most violent places on the planet, to attempt to cross in between ports of entry, where they are then arrested and face deportation proceedings, family separation, and some of the terrible consequences that we have visited upon them. So treating them like human beings, understanding that they're just trying to follow our own laws and doing what any human being would do under those same conditions, I think is the right way to look at this issue.
We then return to agriculture. So what is the link between farming, clean energy, and climate change? And how do Iowa farmers take part in the effort? And is ethanol enough?
Ethanol will not be sufficient, but it is a part of the solution. It is a step in the right direction. It is proof that when we allow farmers to lead, the entire country is served. They've taken, 10% of the gasoline off of the market to replace it with a renewable, sustainable energy source that's grown right here in Iowa and that has freed these farmers from a dependence on commodity markets. When we talk about including incentives to plant cover crops or to use precision tilling or no-till farming that disturbs less of the carbon that's in the soil, when we talk about conserving our lands instead of developing it or planting every square inch under ownership, I want farmers to lead that conversation and to drive the solutions that we're working for. If we do that, if we have a performance-based incentive program, I'm confident farmers are going to perform to it every time, and they should be able to design that as well. If we do that, if we transition fully off of fossil fuels, if we meet the challenge of methane and hydrofluorocarbons, which are much deadlier in terms of their greenhouse gas effect, then this country will get to net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. We'll be halfway there by 2030. We'll have the moral standing to convene the other powers of the planet to do their part as well, and to keep this planet from warming 2 degrees Celsius over pre-industrial revolution levels, after which it becomes very, very hard to sustain life in some of the places that we take for granted today.
Former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke campaigning in Iowa. Don't go anywhere. We've got more to come on this edition of the Business News Hour.